Blog Talk Radio.
There is a conspiracy in the land.
It's a conspiracy to wipe out the black community as a whole.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to log in, load up, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself in swag while sitting on your sofa sipping Ace of Spades, watching messages from the local sponsors, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Scheinberg administration during an uncut broadcast of Schindler's List. It won't consist of Instagram pics posted by Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Ben Jealous eating dinner together at the juice bar on 125th Street, showing off their current situation. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by New Nigga Cinema, and it will not star Nene or Flavor Flav, Cicely Tyson, or Tyler Perry. The revolution will not give you street cred. The revolution will not correct erectile dysfunction. The revolution will not make you an American Idol, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Muhammad popping champagne at your going away to prison party, because you got caught by every camera in the neighborhood kicking that dog and robbing that old lady. CNN will not choose the dumbest eyewitness in the crowd to give a concise description of just what happened. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of brothers shooting down pigs on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of brothers shooting down pigs on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Gwyneth Paltrow being run out of Harlem on a Vespa with a brand new weave. There will be no slow motion or ass shots of Buffy the Body gyrating on a rented Rolls Royce with a wet black power t-shirt that she had been saving for just the proper occasion. Real Housewives, Olivia and French, and the Kardashians will no longer be so damn relevant. And women will not care if niggas are making it rain in puddles of sorrow, because black people will be in the streets looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no YouTube clips of parrots singing the national anthem, or Sweet Brown screaming she ain't got time for that. The theme song will not be written by Kanye West or DJ Khaled, nor will it be sung by 2 Chainz, Nicki Minaj, Taylor Swift, or Trinidad James. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a flash flood, flash fire, or flash mob. You will not have to worry about the gecko in your glove compartment, the tapeworm in your gas tank, or the Trojan man in your back pocket. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not spray on a darker complexion. The revolution will give you wings. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution won't be on demand, brother. The revolution will be live.
Maybe.
black power to black people, all power to the people. And we are happy to be live once again from Black Power Radio, this revolutionary, bold radio program that comes to your telephone, receiver, radio dial, to your earbuds. Have you pulling us down? Some of you pulling us down through the televisions and all these gadgets and things. Have you pulling the signal down? We're happy to talk to you tonight from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast and glad to be able to bring the truth to you and kick the statistics and ballistics to you from the platform of the new Black Panther Party to self-defense and our 10-point program. And honored as always to be able to talk to you as your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle. This is Sean Castro Kweli, your National Chief of Staff. Happy to be here with you in the hells and smells of North America. And even though we smell the stench of fire and brimstone and the savagery and brutality of hell, not under the ground, but on top of the ground, I'm also happy to report to you that there is some relief. There is relief from the hell that we're catching. We come to you not of our own accord, but we come to you in the name of the God of our forefathers and foremothers that answers to many different names according to that language that the people speak. And that we bear witness regardless to land, label, or language in the oneness of that creator. And we give and give credit and thanks to that creator, of course, for the creation of this universe and all that exists. And, of course, placing the black man and black woman on this planet as the original people, the first people on this planet to ever walk in the light of sun. We are the most blessed people, and we are a thankful people, or should be a thankful people, to be the most melanated people on the planet. And that means that we have the most rhythm normally, the most soul normally, the most compassion normally. We're most in tune with the cosmos, most in tune with the universe, most in tune with life in general, that melanin that courses through our DNA, through our bloodstream, and bathes our brain. We are thankful to be the first to experience that. And we know that from the original woman and original man, that seed of life produced many nations, of course, produced brown people, of course, produced red people, of course, produced yellow people, and produced white people. And we give thanks to the black woman, who is the mother of creation, and the black man, who is the father of all creation, mother and father, the black man and the black woman. And we understand that in this condition that we see the planet and see the world and see this country and see our people, we understand that we did not do here by our own accord or happenstance. We know that the condition that our people are in, which is a condition called being deaf, dumb, and blind, dead to the knowledge of ourselves, we understand that that comes from a systematic, programmatic plan that comes from actions that took place to make us slaves. Again, taking us away from our thousands and thousands of years of being rulers on this planet, being the first mathematicians on the planet, the first scientists on this planet, the first alchemists and agriculturists on this planet, taking us away from that and going into, as the movie called it, 12 years a slave, or 400 years of servitude that our people, a segment of our people, went through. As we know, there are many different clans of our people as one nation, but a segment of our people went through an African Holocaust, the transatlantic slave trade authorized by the Queen of England, authorized by Europe, authorized by colonialists, authorized by white capitalists of that day, sold out by some greedy Africans who helped the white man to enslave a segment of our people and bring us here on a westerly course, bring our people through the Atlantic Ocean our people having to fight on the slave ships, the captivity, those who did not want to see what would be the end result, some jumping over the ship into the mouths of sharks, others going all the way to the Pacific Islands and the Isles of the Pacific and facing horrors and brutality and outright terrorism. The fetuses of our black women cut out of their stomachs and the heads stomped on. Women raped and buried alive. The black men's genitalia cut off, teeth knocked out. Inhumane treatment that broke us down physically and broke us down mentally, broke us down spiritually and broke us down morally. And then the remnants of that people who were broken down were shipped off to Jamestown, Virginia, to where this country documents 1619 as the earliest of the ships. But the Congressional Library points out, Mr. Elijah Muhammad pointed out, Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey talked about that 1555, the earliest days of us arriving here as slaves, captives in America. And then from that point, our people continue to fight, continue to resist. The whole time, see, the story that's not being told enough is that we have resisted from the moment that we came into contact with the colonizer, with the white man colonizing our people. We resisted. We fought. We even fought them greedy, blood-sucking Africans who sold our people out and sent us up the river and sent us through the door of no return, as they were promised to be made wealthy if they would betray their own brothers and sisters. We recognize the same thing that happened to many great leaders going down the wheels of time, betrayed by their own brothers and sisters. So it's nothing new, but our people have resisted from the moment that we came into contact. And right now in 2015, as we talk on this Monday night, we're still resisting. Nothing has changed. We went through your transatlantic slave trade, the African Holocaust. We went through the civil rights era as a people. We went through the earlier version of the Black Power movement. We went through our own reconstruction. We went through our periods of having great, great wealth amassed as a community, to where trillions of dollars flow through our community without going out of our community. Businesses thrived in different areas and sections that we set up, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to New York, to California. Black areas thrived with political greatness, thrived with agricultural greatness, thrived with economic greatness. They thrived with educational greatness. Areas that we set up, not areas that were lended to us, or areas that were loaned to us, but areas that we set up as a people, as a land and a territory of our own, they thrived. So look at us now. What happened to our people? Again, systematic destruction that was aided all the time by a state-sponsored violence against our people, against black people, against poor people. A state-sponsored violence against the new African here in America. So this is nothing new. So we have to give thanks and honor to that one God. We give thanks, of course, to our ancestors, the great old ancestors who helped us to get on this path and who ultimately organized civilization and still organized civilization through their example. Thankful to all of our great patriarchs and matriarchs of our people, the men and women who fought here in America in different ways. If it wasn't just but a little black woman in a red barn house teaching us something, teaching us how to read, having to sneak and teach us how to read and how to spell after our language had been taken from us. Or if it was just the little black man in the field who would give one of the captive brothers or sisters a little extra food because they were being fed slop what's now called soul food, was the slave food. If it wasn't just for a little black woman of who, a black woman who was working two and three jobs just to put food on the table, or that black man who was doing the same, didn't have a car maybe or transportation, but might have been riding that bus. We give thanks to all of our ancestors, our grandparents, and before them. We're thankful to all of our freedom fighters, those who have come down the wheels of time to resist open oppression and open enemies. Some of y'all are still out there caught up on goblins and spirits, and you looking to do battle with a ghost and a spirit, but you're not trying to do battle with the physical enemies in front of your face. So we're thankful to Robert F. Williams and his organization of the Deacons for Defense for battling real enemies. We are thankful to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and the UNIA for battling real enemies and raising up a real nation within a nation. Thankful to Mr. Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam for battling real enemies and dealing with real enemies. Thankful to all of his students, like Minister Malcolm X and his formation of the OAAU and Muslim Mosque Incorporated, for battling real enemies. Minister Louis Farrakhan and his reestablishment of the Nation of Islam, and the works of Mr. Elijah Muhammad for continuously battling real enemies and raising up a nation within a nation. Thankful to the mighty Black Panther warriors and soldiers of different times and formations, the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael in Lowndes County, Alabama, battling once again real enemies, organizing down there with formerly H. Rob Brown, now known as Imam Jamil Al-Amin, battling real enemies. Bob Brown, battling real enemies. Thankful to Queen Mother Moore, she battled some real enemies. You got to give thanks for those who fought. You got to thank Chairman Bobby Seale. He battled and is really and truly battling some real enemies. Dr. Huey P. Newton, you know he battled some real enemies. Bunchy Carter battled real enemies. John Huggins battled real enemies. Geronimo Jijaga Pratt battled real enemies. Those who were in that formation, like Eldridge Cleaver, battled real enemies. Little Bobby Hutton battled some real enemies. The Forte brothers, they battled some real enemies. Elbert Big Man Howard battled some real enemies. We're thankful to Angela Davis, she battled some enemies. Asada Shakur, she battled some enemies. Battled real enemies. We're thankful to them. All of them, you know, Captain Aaron Dixon, who I know well, others, you battled real enemies. Thankful to them. The list just goes on and on. Thankful to all of those. Revolutionary Action Movement, Max Stanford, formerly Max Stanford, battled real enemies. I mean, we could just name countless groups of black men and women who organized to battle real foes and work to help us to breathe a little easier in our condition. If they couldn't get the boot heel of the enemy all the way off of our neck, at least they lifted a couple of inches up off of us. Or at least they moved part of the boot off of us. They couldn't get it all the way off, they at least moved some of the boot off of us. Or if they got one boot off of us, then the pigs and the establishment would come and put another boot on us. But we're thankful for their efforts. Thankful for all of you who sacrificed, those who are not here to hear this broadcast, but are going into what is known as the realm of the Agoon, the ancestral plane, the ancestral realm of our people. We're thankful to them who are no longer here, but who've given up their lives so that we can go forward. Thankful to the foundation of this organization in Dallas, Texas. The man who started this organization is named Aaron Michaels. He helped to rebuild this movement out of Dallas, Texas, and worked to fight some real enemies during his time. He was fighting during his time and did what he could to move this mission forward. Then it fell into the hands of the immortal, honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, a wartime general who gave this organization structure and gave it some breath and gave it some life and reinvigorated the youth of Black Power and gave it its militant posture as a former Supreme Captain, and then pushed the organization forward into the world on an international scale. Thankful to him. We're thankful to the Attorney at War, who continued after the Black Power General transcended this world. And he carried on and labored on for the length unmatched by any other Panther chairman, and dealt with many, many different psychological attacks and different mental attacks and physical attacks that come along with leading a movement like this. Thankful to him coming up out of his law practice and sacrificing his law practice to at least push the ball forward when others couldn't do it. We're thankful to him. We're definitely thankful to our present chairman, General Minister Hashim Nzinga. I like to say Hashim A. Nzinga, Akhenaten Nzinga, who has picked up the torch behind our big brother, the Attorney at War, Attorney Malik Shabazz, and has been guided well by both the Black Power General and the Attorney at War to take his position and to be the man appointed, or as Dr. Khalid would say, anointed and appointed for this hour as the national chairman, determined to push forward. Thanks to the National Central Committee of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, all of our chapters, all of our membership, thanks to the Black Power Movement in general. Thanks to you all. Black Power greetings to you. And we greet you, of course, with peace, however you say it. If you say it, Assalamu alaikum, or Hotep, or Shalom, or just straight out peace, Shalom to your name. Peace to the peaceful, if you're willing to fight for it. We have a great honorable guest with us tonight, the executive director of the National Conference of Black Mayors, Sister Vanessa Williams, who has been embattled in some controversy. She's been embattled in some controversy because one of those bootlicking athletes out of the NBA, formerly up out of the NBA, had worked to take her organization from her and basically hijacked it through illegal means and then trashed the organization and took the organization away from its original purpose, its original strong purpose of being a strong Black organization representative of Black political power. Talking about Kevin Johnson. Some of y'all know him. And he's up there in, I believe, Seattle. Mayor up there, I believe, in Seattle. Former NBA player. Had taken the organization, hijacked the organization from Sister Vanessa Williams. Got her involved in all kind of slander, slandered her name, threw her through the mud, drug her through the mud, and worked to remove her from her position and get her out of the way. Sister Vanessa Williams was too strong, too bold, too courageous for them bootlicking sambos. They needed her out the way. And they had to use, once again, one of our own to do so. As is always the case, some of us are always ready to look to the white man as the enemy that'll get you first. Mr. Elijah Muhammad said it right. The white man is the open enemy. They flat out let you know, like what you see in McKinley, Texas, like what you see all in Valdosta, Georgia, like you see in New York City. They let you know flat out, we are your opposers. We will oppose your rise to the top. So they're your open enemies. They openly in general oppose you when you are pushing for self-determination. Those are not really the ones that you got to always watch. You got to watch the ones that's closest to you. You have to watch the ones that's next to you, the ones that look just like you, the ones that say, Black Power, Islam Alaikum, Hotep, Shalom, Witchy. Let's build a movement. Them are the ones who are the quickest ones to put that knife in your back, operating with the mentality of the white man. You know, put that knife right in your back. Hell, the Ku Klux Klan, the white supremacists, and others, they ain't even got to do a damn thing to you. Because your own brother, your own sister will set you up and try to get you taken out of the position or taken out of the whatever you try to do as a movement. And so you got to watch those around you. That's what I'm saying. You can't tell, Dead Prez would say, you can't tell by a tattoo. You can't tell by somebody saying something. You got to watch those closest to you. Word to the wise. And so Sister Vanessa Williams went through this. But one thing that she is able to say, and she will say, that as she went through this and kept going through this, she was able to make it through stronger than when she went in. That tells you something. All of us who desire to lead our people or organize our people, if you desire to see a better day for the Black man and Black woman in America and really in general, you will have to deal with turncoats. You'll have to deal with stool pigeons. You'll have to deal with informants, agents. You'll have to deal with people stabbing you in the back. I don't care if you're just in the church choir. Let you sing soprano too damn good. Let you sing alto too good, and somebody will try to take you out of your spot. Something in us that makes us jealous of one another and envious of one another, instead of embracing each other and encouraging each other, there's something in us that makes us this way. And it's a sickness that I've analyzed and we've analyzed that comes all the way down through the slavery time. So Sister Vanessa Williams, she going to tell her story, and she going to talk. And there's going to be some other mayors, Black mayors, that will be on with her, because we have to talk about what's going on in America, where there's this increase, or there's this microscope now on police brutality and the murder of Black people, but yet these Black mayors and Black elected officials and Black athletes and Black politicians and Black business people, you're quiet as a church mouse. Why is it that white activists on the left are speaking louder than Black people in some cases? It's a damn shame that the white folks are even speaking out and jumping on board with a Black Lives Matter, and some of you who are elected officials, quiet as church mouse. We want to know what's going on. Have you been given orders to be quiet? Or are you just in self-check and scared anyway? We want to know what's going on in the National Conference of Black Mayors. What's going on with these Black elected officials where these rogue police officers are running wild in your cities, a lot of you. And you're not moving on them to put them in check. Aren't you in charge? Or if you're not in charge, who's really in charge? We got to ask us some questions, because now understand clearly, your tax dollars are at work and at use. Your tax dollars are being spent. Your tax dollars are paying some salaries. So you're paying for these rabid racists on the police force to kill your babies. Or as in the case of the young sister in McKinley, Texas, you're paying for these rabid racists on these police force to slam your little 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds to the ground and chase after them like savage animals. You're paying for them to do this to you. Every time you cash a check and taxes are taken out of your paycheck and taken out of what you purchase, you're paying, and I'm paying, and we are paying for police brutality, harassment, and murder of Black people. Of course, that doesn't excuse lateral black-on-black violence, but here's the difference as we prepare to dig into this. The difference is you're not paying your neighbors to beat you and brutalize you. You're paying police officers to do it. So I want to see if our sister is on with us. And if she is, we want to ask some very, very important questions and some poignant questions and kind of dig into it. And also, we want to know what's going on with the National Conference of Black Mayors and what the future is of the organization. I want to know if Sister Vanessa Williams is on. Can you hear me, sister? Are you on with us? Sister Vanessa Williams, are you there? She may not be on just yet, but I want to let you all know that she will be on just shortly. And the number to call tonight is 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. I want you all to spread it around. If you are listening and you're on Twitter right now, tweet that number, and I tell the people to repost that. If you're on your Facebook page, let them know Black Power Radio is on the air. Hashtag Black Power Radio. And put that link in, blogtalkradio.com/freedom or death. The independent, uncompromising radio broadcast of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. Let them know. Let people know to tune in. And put that number out there. We want to know what your thoughts are on this rash of police brutality and violence and murder of our people. In Valdosta, Georgia, in New York City, in Georgia, in Cleveland, in Ohio, in Florida. I mean, you can literally just pick anywhere on the map, and our people have been the victims of violence and the victims of police terrorism. And it's been backed by the unions, by the way. These police unions are backing these efforts, and you have a handful of cases where you have gotten some convictions, but in the ones that really, really were obvious to me and to us, you haven't got any convictions. This latest one came up out of Cleveland, Ohio. I saw where the officers were on top of the hood. They were on the hood of the vehicle shooting down into the car. Over 100 shots fired. So many shots fired, they literally had to drop their magazine and then reinsert one and continue to fire. Over 100 shots fired down on two, a black man and a black woman who were reportedly homeless. Don't know the circumstances, but they allegedly said that there was a car that had backfired, and they, now these are trained officers, they mistook this for gunfire and fired into the vehicle. I mean, just any kind of excuse. Next to the B, if you poop too damn hard, if you standing there and you being detained, or you in your vehicle and you're being detained and questioned and you poop too damn hard, that'll be an excuse to fire in the vehicle, because they'll say the damn poop was gunfire. Just any excuse. But see, you have to remember the old Ku Klux Klan leaders. I think his name was J.B. Stoner, the brother minister of Farrakhan, had been talking about this recently. J.B. Stoner was saying back in the day about how that the police would take the white robes off. They take the white robes off, and that they would be wearing police uniforms, and they would be in the black robes of the judges, and that they would be prosecutors, and that they would be even fire people. You know, I read a story where it was a white fireman who refused to put out the fire of a black resident. Just refused altogether, said they were going to just let the house burn to the ground just on the basis of having to serve a black resident. That happened in rural Kentucky. Crazy. Crazy, but this is the reality, that you have an infiltration of public service, of of these white supremacists, white-minded supremacists, pardon me, these white racist supremacists who have infiltrated public servant roles. And so now with the backing of the system and the backing of the state, they are able to exercise prejudice against your black behind and my black behind. And then 9 times out of 10, unless the crime is too blatant, they'll get let off the hook. All they got to say is, I fear for my life. I fear for my life. And so you look in McKinley, Texas, and you see this poll party where it is reported that the police was called because there was an altercation that broke out between some of the classmates that were there at the pool party and some of the adults, because racial slurs and epithets were being thrown around at the neighbors. At the pool party, the neighbors were throwing racial slurs reportedly at those at the pool party, and an altercation broke out. And so from that point, the police were called. Then the police come in and escalate the situation. Now, if you haven't seen the video, I encourage you to go and view the video before something happens to the video called Cops Crash Pool Party. It's called Cops Crash Pool Party. And you can witness over 5 minutes of video shot by someone who was there at the pool party, and you can witness the interactions between young 13, 14, and 15-year-old black children and police. And there's one police officer in particular, this officer Eric Casebolt, who immediately escalates a situation and begins to slam young 14 and 15-year-olds to the ground. So telling them to get down on the ground, get down on the ground. I told you to get down. And then begins to chase after them. No de-escalation at all. No compassion, really, at all. Nothing shown at all but an escalation of a situation. And at one point, he even unholsters his weapon and pulls his weapon against an unarmed teen, apparently a teen, who was trying to rescue a little girl who he had his knees in her back and was making her to lie down on the ground with both of his knees and all of his weight placed firmly in her back, this Casebolt. With both of his knees placed squarely in her back, telling her to stop resisting, and she's clearly in full compliance and in pain on the ground as an attendee of this pool party. Slammed her to the ground and grabbed her by the hair. This is what is happening to our 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds and our youngsters out here, just trying to have a pool party, because you know school is letting that all across the country. Young classmates getting together, trying to have a good time, and here you have some neighbors saying, why don't you all go back to your country, and calling you nigger and doing all this racist stuff to you just because you're trying to have a pool party. This is indicative of the black experience in America. See, I know some of you like and want to be sympathetic, and you try. You know, some white people really try to be sympathetic. Some of you try. Some of you in the brown community, you try. Red in the community, you try. Yellow, you try. But you will never quite grasp what it's like to grow up black in America and to be just trying to have a pool party and enjoy your time at the pool party, and then be called a monkey and be called a nigger, and why don't you go back to your country and all this stuff. And, you know, that's highly unnecessary, but is in the mindset of many in white America. See, and then when the police are called and you're taught your whole life that the police are there to serve and protect, then immediately when they're caught, and you're thinking they're coming to at least try to mediate the situation and to find out who's really at fault and what really happened and if it can be resolved in a peaceful manner, they escalate the situation and begin to slam your 14 and 15-year-olds to the ground and then draw weapons against unarmed young black males who are there witnessing an injustice. I don't know about you out there in the radio listening audience, but when you look at this over and over and over and over again, and then you see the officer get placed, not fired, but placed on administrative leave, paid suspension, pending investigation, and this happens over and over and over and over again, it makes you sick to your stomach. I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. It makes me sick to my stomach. And if you have any kind of heart and have any kind of compassion, and if you can have any kind of feeling for someone outside of yourself, it should make you thoroughly sick to your stomach to witness this. Even you black officers out there listening, how could you witness this? This could be your daughters, your sons. How can you witness this and feel nothing? If you can witness what is happening to our young youth and feel nothing, you're dead already. They may as well put you in the casket and drop you 6 feet under the ground right now because you're dead already if you can't feel for that. So we want complete justice in McKinley, Texas, complete justice still in the case of Eric Garner, complete justice still in the case of Mike Brown, complete justice in the case of Rekia Boyd, complete justice in every case of police brutality and the murder of black people. Our program and point number 7 says we want an immediate end to police harassment, brutality, and the murder of black people. Immediate end. The only way that we can immediately end this, brothers and sisters, is to organize. I am 100% for the organization of self-defense units in the black community, independent self-defense units in the black community. 100% in favor of the people's review boards, not the state's review boards. 100% in favor of black communal review boards, where you review the officers who are in your neighborhoods, in your towns, in your cities, and you deem who is worthy to police your areas and in what method and manner they will police your areas. And if they do not meet a certain criteria, they have to be relieved of duty and relieved from that area. We're talking black political power. I'm not giving you some pipe dream. That's why we're going to talk to Sister Vanessa Williams, who knows the political spectrum, the political spectrum and what it takes to make something like that happen. You need to listen good. I'm not giving you a pipe dream. I'm talking about organization of people power, that wherever people are, wherever black people are, wherever there is an injustice, you can organize for control of your situation, self-determination, and power to the people. I don't want to hear no, we just had a candlelight visual, or we just marched and we just picketed. I don't want to hear that. That's okay. Do that to some of you that do that. I want to organize for people power so that when these Eric case bumps, who are really nutcases, and when these Eric nutcases, these officer Eric nutcases, when they pop up, I want there to be an organized response to those who threaten the safety, the public safety of our children, whether black, white, red, or yellow. So that, again, that when weapons are drawn, against unarmed youth and unarmed teens and unarmed people. As we keep hearing about these unarmed occurrences, there should be an organized response by the people who are able to handle such situations. You can't be scared to deal with the real reality. Our people are being brutalized, misused, terrorized, and people are sitting idly by like this is normal, it's okay. It's the police that's doing it, so they must be right. I'm here to tell you the police are not always right. Just because they wear a badge and a shield and a uniform and have a gun and have a billy club and a taser, that don't make them right. That's not a moral compass. It's not a moral compass that makes them right because they have a badge and a shield and a billy club and a taser. You can purchase a gun and a taser and a billy club. Don't make them right. So don't use that excuse that just because they the police. You know, some of you you bootlicking Sambo preachers out there, where they the law. They the law, so you got to listen to what they say and you got to do what they – yeah, we want you to be able to comply when it's reasonable. You know, the attorneys will tell you that. Comply when it's reasonable. But when your life is threatened and you have one of these who J.B. Stoner talked about that are white supremacists in a uniform that are trying to snuff at your life and then have the state back them up, you can't go along with that. Can't let them just take your life, the life that God gave you, your mama and your daddy gave you and your grandparents helped to make possible. You can't let them take your life just because they got a badge and a damn gun on. God damn it, defend yourselves. Defend your people. Stop sitting around playing a victim and doing this victim mentality like all you can do is be terrorized into a victim role. Organize with strength in numbers. Strength in numbers. Organize with strength and numbers. If you don't know how to do it, call 347-903-0886. Call us at the New Black Panther Party office. We will show you how to do it. To organize a black power movement in your city. Man. Number to call, again, 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447, as we're going to get into some serious topics. And, I mean, again, it's so much more that's happened. I've seen something else where some white folks had attacked a brother and sister in Chicago, Illinois. They're in the park hanging out. Just talking and having a conversation, you know, talking to some other white people. They're just talking. And then they joined by another mob of white folks. And these white folks get into an altercation with some other white folks. Now listen to the story. Some white people getting into it with some other white people. And then in that situation, they start attacking the black people that's there. They ain't that wicked. Some white folks get into it with some other white people, and they start stabbing the black people that's there. Why? Because the black people that was there were trying to be the peacemaker, trying to say, why don't y'all cool out, settle down, don't do that. And they start stabbing them. This is the reality of what's going on in Black America. That happened in Chicago. Now, they've been arrested, four white teens. I don't know if they were all teens, but four white people arrested. But multiple stab wounds to Sister Christina Fox and her brother. You can read about it. It's on my Twitter and it's all on the internet. And we wish her well and want her to and her brother to have a speedy recovery. But, I mean, for what? Why did they attack her? Think about the pathology. Why did they attack her? Why did they attack him? Just for having a conversation. Another story, I saw some white folks that had murdered two black brothers, two young black males, and was having sex with their bodies. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not making it up. Was having sex with their bodies, murdered them in cold blood, and then was having three-way sex with the body. And you don't think it's time for us to have land of our own, territory of our own, and to separate from this wicked, decadent American society. You don't think it's time to have something to call your own where your own people ain't got to deal with the foolishness and madness of white supremacy and black inferiority? It's definitely time. That's in our program. I don't know about some of your other programs, but I can say in our program, we called over 20 years ago as an organization for a liberated zone. We said in point number 10 that we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as a political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own here or elsewhere, a liberated zone, New Africa or Africa, and a plebiscite, which means a conversation to be held throughout the black nation in which only we will be able or allowed to participate for the purposes of determining our will and divine destiny as a people. That is in our program. That's not in a lot of your programs. But you can see now why the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad put that in the program. You can see why he attached that to the 10-point position of the Black Panther Party for self-defense. Why? Because if we're not talking about land, as Minister Malcolm X said, then you're not talking about a real true revolution, which is complete constructive change. You don't have a real true revolution without having a land question involved. Every other people out here of culture are talking about the land, the red man and woman talking about their land. They're talking about Mexico and California and Arizona and Texas and other areas that they say was their land. Others are talking about a land question. Even the spiritual people are talking about a promised land, but you're talking about that after you die. We're not talking about that after we die. We're talking about something sound on the ground while we're still around. The land question must be attached to the black man and woman, the African in America. We must have land here or elsewhere. We must have land and territory that we can organize on, build upon, and defend. Not just talking about Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm talking about land. I'm talking about states, talking about Alabama, I'm talking about Mississippi, I'm talking about thoroughly and mentally rich areas where we can develop if it's going to be here or if it's not going to be here and we're going to travel elsewhere and be up out of here. I know Ghana's talking about bringing brothers and sisters back home. There's other areas. If we're going to do that, it's got to be fertile and mentally rich areas. And then see, but you, brothers and sisters, have to picture in your mind a lifestyle and a world outside faith and system. You got to picture that in your mind. You have to detach yourself from the umbilical cord of white America first. Because just like Marcus Garvey said, some of you wouldn't even want to go. You wouldn't even want to detach yourself. You'd have all the opportunity in the world to make that kind of move and exodus away from this savage behavior that you face every day here in America. Some of you wouldn't even go if you had the opportunity because you're so caught up in the illusion of inclusion and the illusion of an American dream, which Minister Malcolm X rightly pointed out is an American nightmare. You're so caught up in the illusion of this country and the capitalism of its failing wealth that you cannot in your mind picture a life off of the plantation. And our brothers and sisters did that before. Our brothers and sisters, once freed or emancipated off of the plantation, didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do. They had been slaves so long and working for the man so long, the white man so long, the slave master so long. They didn't know what freedom was like. They didn't know what that felt like. They didn't have an idea of what to do as a free man and a free woman. They were always used to somebody dictating their existence. They didn't know what self-determination was about. They didn't know it. They had been away from being independent for so long that they had no idea what to do since they could not pick the white man's cotton and tobacco and work the gin farms anymore. That's where we're at. You're industrial slaves. We're industrial slaves. If we don't have a 9-to-5 job or some little petty hustle that we're doing to try to make ends meet in white America, we feel like we ain't making it. But brothers and sisters, we're 13% of this nation, 13%, some say 14%, and we're just being 13 to 14% of this nation, we're spending $1.4 trillion. Spending $1.4 trillion. So I want to see if Sister Vanessa's on, and if she's not, we'll keep organizing and take your calls here. But I'll go to area code 678-670. You're on live with Black Power Radio. You're talking to Master Chief of Staff Sean Kwali. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is Brother Keith.
All right, Brother Keith. Sir, Black Power is putting in the noise. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. I have a question and a quick comment is, I know they say since the people pay for the police department, can the people disbar or take away the police department, saying we no longer want it and we want to, like you say, put on people's militia? What would it take to say the hell with the police? We don't want them anymore. We're disbarring the police and we create our own, police militia that be financed by the state or the people as relates to the protection of our own communities. And a question of separation or whatever, because it seems like people are waking up to the fact that, white America is not our friend. Police brutality is at an all-time high. And, the only solution is separation. What do you see separation as it is right now, and a possibility of that?
That's an excellent question. Both questions were excellent. And I'd say that as I said, point number two, 10 states plainly in our program that we want as a political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own here or elsewhere, a liberated zone, a new Africa. That says it all. Separation is to us still the best and only solution. To this race problem. Clearly, if you can go back, if you look on the old tapes of Minister Malcolm X, and you go back to the old tapes of Mr. Elijah Muhammad, the old tapes of Garvey, the old tapes of Drew Ali, the old tapes of our greats, they all of them had to deal with this race question. Every single generation of our people have had to deal with this question of race, and should we stay or should we go, and can we just go along to get along? We all had to do this. But the one thing that we have not tried as a people, and I don't just mean nationalists, black nationalists like us, I'm talking about the black Muslim community, the black Christian community, the black Hebrew community. I'm talking about the black Buddhist community, the black agnostic community. I'm talking about us in general, without all the labels, just black people. The one thing that we have not tried completely, number one, is our complete unity as a people, our cultural unity. We have not tried separation in a land or territory of our own. It's absolutely necessary that we must have somewhere that's good enough to call our own. The reason why that is because if we don't have land to fight for our own, brother, we're fighting for the white man's land. We're fighting for occupied territory. We're fighting for land and territory we don't possess, don't have power over, and really don't possess. And so the good thing is that America is for sale. That again, since we're spending $1.4 trillion as a people collectively, if we could ever marshal our spending with the right ideas and put our resources together towards the right ideas, we could take that $1.4 trillion and we could buy up all kinds of things in America. To be way bigger and better than Black Wall Street, way bigger and better than what was there in New York you know, other areas. We can do bigger and better things. And then the second part of your question with the police, that goes again into black political power. You know, the police are there based upon determination, number one. They're determined to be there as you know, quote unquote, I'm saying again, stressing quote unquote servants of the community. And so they are there as long as the constituencies allow them to be there. There are cases where police departments have been dismantled because of rampant racism. I mean, we saw that in Missouri and some other areas down in Florida. So there is cases. I'm just citing a couple in the interest of time. But there's cases where when the corruption is so broad and so direct, or there are ways that you can show a contradiction of how the police department is not doing its job. There are cases where police departments have been dismantled. And so these types of instances and cases must be explored, must definitely be explored by the New Black Panther Party, local chapters across the country, and we have to look at it on a national level, how effective state policing apparatuses are in the black community. And if the example, or pardon me, if the replacement is 100% a people's self-defense unit, and if that is the case, then what are the qualifications? We have to discuss what the qualifications are and who can be involved. But I'm 100% for the people controlling their destiny in terms of their own safety. And again, the police are only relevant. Let me stress this as I close this point. The police are only relevant in a society of haves and have-nots. In a capitalist society, capitalism is what makes the police relevant. If you don't have capitalism, haves and have-nots, you won't have police.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And one quick other point. Here in Atlanta, I work with our brother. He's over in Cobra now, the reparations organization. He also works with Republic New Africa. And you know, I've been studying a lot more about as it relates to a lot of our leaders talking about the Black Belt. Even Harry Haywood with the Communist Party even advocated, separation to a degree or two, self-determination. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we give as a race of state theory, they say you become a nation by recognition from other nations. So black people here born in America in particular say, hey, the UN or any other African nation like our brother Muammar Gaddafi, you know, he recognizes us as a nation. According to their theory, we are official nation. And if we start practicing nationhood, you know, we don't have to ask permission for separation. We already be as a nation. I think we just formally organize ourselves into the apparatus, you know, regardless of land, label, or language. I think we'll be successful. I want to hear your take on that. Do you think, you know, as it relates to with more, say, nationality and things of that nature? Because they say, according to the UN, there's no such thing as an African American.
Yeah, I mean, according to the UN, there's no such thing as a lot of things, but that doesn't necessarily determine us as a nation. I mean, obviously, you know, we're kidnapped Africans. At the end of the day, regardless to what label is slapped on us, whether a person wants to use Asiatic or Moor or, you know, Aboriginal or African-American or whatever the label is, the reality is we're kidnapped Africans. We're descendants of kidnapped African slaves. And so that immediately constitutes us as a nation just from the jump because of where our origin was and how we got here. And then when you look at population, there's enough of us here in America, of course, to constitute any country anywhere. And so, you know, we're automatically as a people, we're automatically by birth a nation. What the problem is in terms of, as you talk about nationality and what you're trying to present, or what people are trying to present to the United Nations is what we're having an issue trying to determine what to call ourselves. And, you know, so you get those, again, that wrangle over titles like Moore, and you get those that wrangle over titles, you know, like Muslim, and titles over Hebrews and whatever, whatever. They're just wrangling over titles. And so we're wrangling over what to call ourselves. Instead of just presenting ourselves as a body, a unified body, before those who officially certify nations and nationhoods. But again, brother, what officially certifies nationhood is land possession. I want to be clear. It's not what a person calls himself. Because again, you got to think now. Zimbabwe, for an example, as an independent nation at one time under colonization was called Rhodesia. See what I'm saying? So different labels change. Labels change according to who's in power, who's in charge. Sometimes the mother continent of Africa is called Africa. Sometimes it's called a Kubalan. You understand what I'm saying? So and for our people, we can't so much get caught up on the label. What we have to get caught up on is possessing land, land ownership. Land is the basis of revolution. If the people are organized to possess land, then the people can determine, as we said, in a national plebiscite or a national conversation, what label best suits the situation to be called, to present nationhood. But until you possess land, the label question is really out the window, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Did that answer your question?
Oh, yes, sir. Thoroughly answered my question, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Brother Keith, it's good to hear from you, brother. I haven't heard from you in a little while. But I'm glad to hear from you, brother. I'm glad you're still going strong, black man.
Oh, yes, sir. You'll see me out in the field, brother. You know, so I'm still organizing, brother. So, soon we got to partner up, do something.
All right, man. I look forward to hitting the ground with you sooner than later.
Oh yeah, absolutely, brother. Take down the number, give me a call and let me know what's going on. And I'll be there.
All right, I'll do that. Appreciate you, brother. Peace and blessings, Black Power.
Peace and Black Power.
So, yeah. Let's hear from the National Minister of Justice. I know he wants to weigh in on this national crisis, the murder of black people. I know that he's been looking with an eagle eye over everything that's been happening to our people. And I know that he's seen what happened recently in McKinley, Texas. And we got to know what's on the mind of the Ministry of Justice for the new Black Panther Party. What does justice look like in regards to all of this national crisis, this murder of black people at the hands of law enforcement? We'll hear some words from our brother, Brother Akbar Bilal Kareem, the National Minister of Justice. Black Power.
Black Power. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power to you and the audience. Brother Sean Kwali, the National Chief of Staff, New Black Panther Party Self-Defense. We want all of you to know that the New Black Panther Party today is moving in the spirit and the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, strongly behind the leadership of our Chief Minister and General Minister, Chairman Hashim Nzinga. And in this hour, as I look at some of the most recent incidents, and as Brother Sean had warned me early in the week, that right there in Chicago, that they had done such an injustice to black people for just wanting to hang out for a few minutes and enjoying themselves outdoors. But this is not new, Brother Sean, and brothers and sisters of the audience. When I was a baby boy running through the streets of Chicago, I would hear the echoes, stay out of Marquette Park in Chicago, and the things that they were actually killing our people at certain parks and certain bus terminals, and stay out of Cicero and stay out of other sections of St. Louis and Indianapolis, you couldn't go so many miles into Indiana. And these spots today are full and saturated with the venom of white supremacy in this hour. Brother and sister, please don't sleep on your justice. Don't sleep on your freedom, justice, and equality. It's no accident the Honorable Elijah Muhammad settled around and Detroit, Chicago. He could have been in New York or Los Angeles. But there's a specific reason for that central location, which, no coincidence, it does kind of align itself with Mecca, to where many people, many learned people, look for knowledge. But there's no peace in the East. There's no preference to the West in this hour. There's no special, as they say, in turning your face to the East or the West. But the Most High Creator, the designer of all aspects of the universe, it says, is in every direction in which you can turn your face. You will find an avenue to go for divine justice, but you'll also find some injustice in there, where you have the knowledge and the power, beloved brothers and sisters, in your own being in this hour to turn to justice if you just make that decision that you will not tolerate injustice in your midst. That you'll do is what the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about. The injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But we're here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, injustice is no threat to the divine justice in this day and time and in this hour. We must stand for black power. We must raise our black fists. As we saw as our previous chairman raised the black fist once again, it's coming back to the black fist and black power, because revolution is the only solution, as is taught by our divine leader and guide, teacher, general, doctor, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, is still telling you that revolution is the only solution. I am telling you, I want to inspire you with the divine justice. But this is divine black revolution. All has been in the divine plan. You can't speed it up, brother and sister, with the anticipation. You can't slow it down when you start to puking and moaning. But it's on a divine plan. It's on a collision course with injustice and error and wrong. The good book asks you, does the right resemble wrong? It says in the answer, not in the least little bit. Does evil look like righteousness? Not in the least little bit. So wake up, brother and sister, in the hour that you will now focus on divine justice. Look at what is going on in Texas, in McKinley, Texas, right at the home of our beloved brother. His beloved sister resides right in McKinley, Texas. Our big brother, our defense minister, Brother DK, has declared war on white supremacy. He's declared that there will be no injustice in the midst of Dallas and Plano and the areas between Harris County, San Antonio, El Paso. Get on board, El Paso, San Antonio. Let's help a success by this Thursday. Help our defense minister, Brother Mike, and those running around the nation. Line up, which we talked just last night, with our national field marshal, to marshal those troops that are able to get to the central region in Texas. And let's show them, demonstrate to them, that the new Black Panther Party and all black revolutionaries, we're not going to tolerate white supremacy. We're not going to tolerate police brutality, because justice is the petitioner that is going to knock on your door right around midnight, huh? Mm-hmm. And that is petitioner that is unwarranted. But justice must prevail in this hour, beloved. I just share that just a reminder, just to share with you the sentiments of the office of the Ministry of Justice in this hour, that there will be another form of justice coming. And it says that it will be just a band of you that's standing and balancing the scales of justice, this Umatul El-Mizan that is going to rise up. But we don't want to take too much of the time today, beloved Brother Sean, but we want to let you know that this office of Minister of Justice is fired up for justice against the opposition in this hour. Let us put all of our energy and go and hurl the truth at falsehood, knock his brain out. Go ahead with the utmost strenuousness, as the book is telling us to do, with all our power and our might and our energy, against the injustice, against white supremacy, and against all of those that would support it. So we thank you, Brother Sean, for an opportunity just to say a few words in the way of divine justice in this hour.
No doubt. You got a little more time. I want to ask you a couple questions to the audience.
Yes, sir.
And so in terms of this spike in police violence, what do you attribute to this spike in police violence across the nation? Why do you think that it's coincidental? Do you think that it's planned? What do you think is going on with this rise in police brutality and murder of black people?
Yes, sir. Well, see, again, they will pick some of the silence and use it as though we are co-signing with a green light of approval for the atrocities that are being carried out by some of the police departments, by some of the citizens who are still bent on using their advantage that they have militarily, or the advantage they may see is just only one or two of us, and then overpower you with a knife or gun and bloody you up just to have fun. This goes back when the white man was at his little college gathering, would build a big bonfire and find a young black female and sacrifice her. If he couldn't find a female, he put a male in there. This cracker has been practicing this warlock and demonism has been in his midst all of the time. He has not changed. He is on the same thing, the same architect that constructed the very first slave ship, that architect that designed, and the devil that carried out the building of that same slave ship is the same one we're having trouble with. Where did they settle? Right there with Hillary Rodham Clinton, right in Skokie, Illinois. Right there you find the biggest bin for white supremacy in Cicero, Illinois, in Skokie, Illinois. Now, I just want to know if anybody can correct me today. But this is the truth, brother and sister, that the whites that are telling you that they're your friends in Arkansas and Illinois are your enemies at night, because they're the one that is wearing the white sheets and trying to cover the symbolical of covering up the work of the not a devil, but the master of the deception. The devil himself is doing this work against the righteous. So we have to team up with the righteous in this hour, that we may defeat the big Satan, the big devil that's been hiding behind the white sheet and other hiding places that have been convenient to him, especially in Skokie, especially Marquette Park at that incident, especially down in Dallas, Texas, in McKinley. Me and Brother DK and Brother Sean Kwalee, with our chief minister, we're going to make the trees cry. We're going to make the rock holler out. There's no hiding place for injustice down and up and around here today. So this is the job of the righteous. The duty of the civilized man is to teach the savage and the barbaric man, to teach him principles of civilization, and to drill into him and her principles of cultural refinement under the teaching of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, being inspired by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the teachers inspired by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as we move towards the Million Man March on the anniversary in Chicago, and then the anniversary being carried out in Washington, D.C., as we unite with all of our comrades from around the country and around the world. It's the spirit of the black man today, the black power for all black people, and a strong black military to black that call for black unity, for black power, and for divine black justice to support the divine black revolution in this hour. We thank you so much, brother, for that question, because certainly we need to get the answers on that question. Praise due to Allah.
All right. Yes, sir, we appreciate that. Definitely want to stay tuned. We want to stay tuned into the Ministry of Justice on what we can do against this police brutality and murder of black people. Finally, in closing, what advice would you have for the people in this hour as a defense against police brutality and the murder of black people?
Yes, sir. That unite, the only friend, the only thing you got in this hour, beloved, on this in the physical term, you got your divine powers and all your spiritual organizations, but the only thing you got, beloved, that you can depend on in this hour is your comrade. I don't give a damn if you related, blood kin to Barack Hussein Obama. I don't care if you're the stepchild of Eric Holder. You can be the granddaughter of Miss Lynn as a justice. The only friend you got today is your comrade. That's all of your ability to see straight, to aim straight, and shoot straight, because that's all you got right now. And if I'm lying, you correct me, Brother Sean Qualley, but all we got is our comrade in this hour, brother. And the comrade organizations, the revolutionaries, those who will not fold on you when the pressure from the opposition comes, that is your comrade. You must depend on those who are not afraid of the opposition. That's all you got, brother and sister. Work through your airways and your networks and all of your political organizations. As we see on Storm Mountain, we have to organize that Saturday. DeKalb went back up against them again. There are people who are pulling their guns on the SCLC now. I'm telling you, I'm talking to those reverends almost every other day about this situation. They love the work of the Panthers. They love what happened on Stone Mountain, Georgia, when led by the Honorable Hashim Nzinga, as we went in there to check them on the devilment in there of murdering a brother on DeKalb Mountain in Stone Mountain, Georgia, in the city of Atlanta. Don't you know that they surrounded up? But when we talked to those captains, I see him and I stepped to those captains and said, yeah, y'all got us surrounded, but you better look fine wide, because you see them reflectors back on us. Now, you may get us today, but I assure you that some of you will go down in this hour. So we had our snipers looking back at their snipers. And so the result, they stood down on Stone Mountain, Georgia. You don't have to have 1,000 soldiers to check your opposition. You just have to have brilliance on the strategy in which you go to the opposition. And don't you know Almighty God is ruling your favor in this hour? Almighty God is with you, black youth, teaches the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Mohammed. He's with you, brilliant scholars and scientists. We have to be the vanguard, the protectors of our scholars, our women, our children, our kings and our queens. From here in Chicago, here in McKinley, Texas, in Los Angeles, in St. Louis, in Louisville, in D.C., Miami, all over this planet Earth, we're going to have to stand together in the Tawheed, as it's called in the Quran, for the unity, but also in the Umoja, as we say for the Swahili, that's in us as well. We must attend to the needs of the righteous. The black man, woman, and child cannot be afraid to team up with your comrades and your brothers and sisters. That's a righteous company that's been blessed by the divine power of all of the world to go for the justice, and we will organize an army as did Ezekiel of the scripture. He had an exceedingly great army that he raised from the dead dry bones in the valley of the dead dry bones. And against the predictors, him and Mustafa, they raised up that army and they checked the Pharaoh, and according to the book, they defeated the Pharaoh with the dead dry bones there in the valley of a dead dry bone. You and I, brother, sister, we are symbolical of the dead dry bones that was lying in the valley, the walking and the living dead that has been raised perpendicular on the square, raised up to check the opposition, raised up to defeat the Pharaoh in this hour. With that, we say black power. Black power. Black power and a strong black military. The black that calls for black divine justice and divine black power in this hour.
All right. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
But the National Minister of Justice, we look forward to hearing more from you in the future. We
look forward for you and teaming up with you against this injustice as well.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum and
right.
Black power.
Wa alaikum salam, black power to you. Brothers and sisters, that has been the National Minister of Justice, the new Black Panther Party. Akbar Bilal Kareem giving the report in on what we should do against the rise of this police brutality and murder of black people. And he's right when he says this is nothing new. I want to remind you that when the Black Panther Party program was drafted in 1966,
point number 7 of that program said, we want an immediate end to police harassment and brutality and the murder of black people. That was 1966. Here we are in 2015, and we still can't take that off of our program. 2015, and we still cannot take that off of our program. So what does that mean? That means that we have more work to do. And I don't want to leave out the Nation of Islam program either. That's on their program too. Barbie had a program similar to that. We've been talking about this for a long time. That means we have had a working contradiction for a long time, a working problem for a long time that has been very, very critical to our lives that we refuse to solve. And it is a solvable problem. Some of you may not like the answers to the problem. You may not like how we suggest that you solve it, but it is a solvable problem. The number one thing that we would tell you right now is to organize, organize, organize. If Kwame Ture was here, that's what he would tell you, organize, 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 organize. There's nothing that you cannot solve without organization. Why are the ants so successful? Why are the bees successful? Why is nature successful? Nature knows how to organize itself. A successful black man and woman knows how to organize his or herself. The problems arrayed against us are organized problems. The police department is organized. Remember, they train. They train on how to pull you over and pull us over. They train on how to make certain gestures and moves, and they train. You ain't training, or you ain't been trained. Some of you ain't been trained. Some of you are trained. Some of you are ex-veterans and military, and some of you ex-police, and some of you have been all up and through the Panther Party, and you've been trained. So I can't say all of you ain't trained. Some of you through the Islam, you know, you train. African Legionnaires, you train. Public of New Africa, train. So I ain't going to say all of us ain't trained. But some of us need straight-up training. And then we need to kick in our minds and get it out of our minds that they are not here to be our friends. The police are not here to be our friends. They're here to investigate. They're here to protect some property and protect some rich. So, again, now back to the point. If you would organize, and we organize, a black power movement in your city, and you would get the 9 local objectives, the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, and organize around those 9 objectives found on our program, our 9 local objective program, you can make a difference. You can make a difference right now. We are, of course, accepting registration and people to come in as members and to organize a Black Power movement. There is no better time in history to organize a Black Power movement than right now. Even the Black Panthers of yesterday did not have the masses of people so thoroughly against what's happening to the black community like what you have today. This Black Lives Matter movement, that is a phenomenon in today's time. And these other movements springing up, that is a phenomenon in these days' time. And they're brilliant movements. But what you're missing, all you who are involved in Black Lives Matter, you're missing the black power component. You're missing, number one, the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner, and you're missing what black power means, which means to define, develop, and defend what's in the best interest of the black community. That's what black power means. That's what you're missing. Black Lives Matter is missing the black power movement. We must link up everybody who is concerned with Black Lives Matter with the Black Power Movement. All members of the new Black Panther Party, all Panther sympathizers, you must get on board with the Black Power Movement. We must get busy in our cities organizing black people around these issues. And I'm telling you, again, no matter how tough your brutalizing and oppressors are, the people outnumber them, period. There's more people, the passage used to say, there's more people than there are pigs. So if you get busy organizing the people, a unified people can put down any type of brutalizer, any type of oppressor, whatever machination they have. Just organize. Again, organize. Call this number, 347-903-0886. Get involved with the Black Power Movement. I want you all to hear something very, very important from the immortal Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And this is him talking on black law. And, of course, if you are a law student, you know, if you're an up-and-coming, pre-law student, or if you're interested in just knowing about some law and being able to defend with law, you must also know black law. If you're just black in general, you got to know some black law. I want you all to listen to this very fast. The words of the immortal Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, our black power general. Well, it was gonna play it for you. I don't know if y'all can hear it. I think what's happening is Blog Talk is having some audio issues. They got a little thing going across the monitor saying they're having some audio issues tonight. But I want you all to go to YouTube. I think it's up on YouTube, might be on RBGTube or wherever the video sites are. You go in and you press Black Law, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and listen to him teach on what black law is and how in order to uphold black law, you have to sometimes offend white law. Sometimes he said in order to be in defense of black life, you will offend some people with white life. You know, he said in order to sit down, you got to break a law standing up. Okay? Dr. Khalid explaining what black law is. I want you all to hear that. We're most definitely supposed to have Sister Vanessa Williams on with us. The national chairman informs me that she's having some phone issues. And so we'll have to have her on for the next show. By the grace of God, next week we'll try to get her on right away. But I want you all to pay close attention. Got some feedback here. Give me 1 second. A lot going on tonight. I want you all to pay close attention to what's happening with the National Conference of Black Mayors. And I want you all to stay tuned to what's happening with this rise of violence against black people, in particular black youth. That's something that cannot go unanswered. See, every time an Eric Casebolt, who was a corporal on the force there in McKinley, Texas, every time a situation like his goes unanswered and unchecked by the people, then that emboldens another racist-minded megalomaniac to do that or more, because they already feel like they've gotten away with it and they'll be protected, see? So it has to be checked, every instance of this. See, because imagine if this was happening in the reverse. Imagine if what happened in McKinley, Texas, happened to some white children. If a black officer or somebody black in general, imagine if they were called to respond to a pool party disturbance and they begin to slam 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds to the ground and put their knees double-pressed with all their weight in their back. And then when the adults go to respond and other teenagers go to respond, they pull a gun out on the residents there. You already know that cop would have had his job taken, and if it was just a regular black person, they'd have been shot dead in the streets. So we can't accept it just because it's the reverse. and it's a white officer, and we're the black community. You cannot accept that as a norm. That's not normal. That's psychopathic. It's not normal. And so we must organize against that. And so we'll have Sister Vanessa Williams on by the grace of God next week. And we will line up another strong lineup for Black Power Radio. But I want you all to stay encouraged throughout this week and stay vigilant throughout this week, pushing forward, as the Minister of Justice, National Minister of Justice says, for justice for black people and oppressed people in general. And the new Black Panther Party, we have no choice. We have to stay on the path. We cannot acquiesce and sell out. We cannot get weak and get off the course. We cannot do that. And as long as I'm your national chief of staff and our national chairman is your national chairman and the national committee is your national committee, we're not going to let you get off the course. Push forward. Push forward, New Black Panther Party. Push forward, Black Nation, to reach the New Black Panther Party and build a Black Power movement. 347-903-0886 is our number. Let's organize right now. There's no better time to do it. The time demands it and calls for it. We want to say to you, black power to black people, power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Until next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio, pass this video, pass this audio around, spread it around, and spread the show around. We'll come back at you next Monday. Black power.